I am. It does help when you're teaching it downstairs. And so, Lauren, if you've got that, the first five that I've already gone over, Lauren, I'm awfully loud up here. You shall have no other gods before me. That's, you know, a no-brainer. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You'll keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. I broke every one of those down. Do you guys remember anything that I've said about them? Good. And if not, you can go back and listen to them online. So I'm going to finish up the last five today. And when we're done, you can tell me your favorite one if I remember to ask you. These are too strong. To ask you what they were. I really like number one, and I really like number five. So, but anyway, that may not be. The first five commandments are vertical. It's about us and our relationship with God. And then the next five that I'm going to give you today are about how we're going to treat each other and what God wants us to do. So Exodus 20:13. You shall not murder. You shall not murder. And the King James says you shall not kill. Both Hebrew, let me tell you why the difference is, okay? Both Hebrew and English have words for taking a life. One is kill, the other is murder. The difference between the two is enormous. Kill means, this is what kill means in the Hebrew, taking any life. Whether it's a human life or an animal, kill. Taking a human life deliberately or by accident, or taking a human life legally or illegally, morally or immorally. On the other hand, though, this is murder, can only mean one thing, the illegal or immoral taking of a human life. That's why we say, I killed a mosquito instead of I murdered a mosquito. Or the worker who fell was accidentally killed, not accidentally murdered. So why did the King James version of the Bible use kill rather than murder? 400 years ago, when the translation of the Bible was made, kill had the same meaning as murder. As a result, some people don't realize that the English language has changed some since 1610, and therefore think that the Ten Commandments prohibits all killing, and that's not true. If the Ten Commandments forbid killing, of what I said kill was, we would have to be vegetarians. The killing of animals would be prohibited. We would also have to be pacifists. We could never go defend our country. You can defend yourselves, and there would be no self-defense. So, but we know the Torah, the five, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy commands that the death penalty for murder allows killing in war, animal sacrifice, so they've got to be killed, and allows eating meat. So number six, do not murder, is the worst act a person can commit. The rest of them are, the rest are serious offenses, but murder, God's creation, deliberately leads the list, because deliberately taking the life of an innocent person is the most terrible thing we can do. Get the difference between murder and kill? Okay. Exodus 20:14. You shall not commit adultery. Someone said, are you going to get on this? I am, and I'm going to camp here for just a second. But there's an old joke about the seventh commandment. Do not commit adultery. Now, I bet you weren't expecting a joke over this one. So here it is. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai and announces, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that I got him down to 10. The bad news is that adultery's still there. Anyway, I don't really have to explain this one. For one reason, it's so prevalent today, right? But I'm gonna talk about it anyway. Now, don't squirm. I don't know anything about nothing about any of you. So don't, okay? Let me explain it. So this commandment, of course, prohibits sexual relations with anyone except his or her spouse. Now, you know what? It would really help if I had an amen while I'm talking about this. For many people, this may be the hardest of the Ten Commandments to observe. So I don't want to embarrass anyone, but the sex drive has enormous power and can be very hard to keep in check for the entirety of a marriage. Especially when an attractive outsider makes him or herself sexually or romantically available. The human desire to love and to be loved is a powerful emotion, right? Adultery threatens the very building block of the civilization that the Ten Commandments seeks to create. See, like I told you last week about like honoring your parents, some parents just want to be friends. But kids need to honor. We need to honor us, and they need to honor. That builds a society that, you know, you don't want to go around kids running over their parents or cussing their parents out or all of that. But it's about building a society of people. You'll get it. So that building block, it starts with the family. Anything that threatens the family unit is prohibited in the Bible. Adultery is one. Honoring your father and mother is another. Without the family, social stability is impossible. Commitment to a wife and children make men more responsible and mature. This is what Jesus says about adultery. Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said that you shall not commit adultery. Is that all I put up there? Oh, but I say to you, who so much as looks at a woman with evil desire for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He's pretty, Jesus, he kind of nailed that on the head. Didn't you remember when President Carter said that he committed adultery because evidently he had looked at some little gal? But anyway, adultery sins against the home and against the children. It sins against the home and against the children. Kent Hughes said this, "The man who commits adultery tells his child, your mother is not worth much, and your father is a liar and a cheat. Furthermore, honor is not nearly as important as pleasure. In fact, my child, my own satisfaction is more important than you." Unquote. That was kind of tough, wasn't it? God created the family unit, and that's his heart, okay? That's his heart. So why would the enemy try his best to destroy it? He comes only to do what? To steal, to kill, to destroy. And he roams about as a roaring lion in fierce hunger, seeking someone to devour. That someone has got to open the door for him to devour them. If you keep that door shut, he will not devour. So Billy Graham said this, marks of a Christian are self-control and self-discipline. Paul talked about it to Timothy. Paul said, Timothy, keep yourself pure and flee, run from youthful love. Paul said he kept his own body under and I bring it under subjection. That's what Paul said. In other words, Paul exercised his body to control it over physical desires and actions, making his body an instrument rather than allowing it to dictate what it wants to do. That was the Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle wouldn't say that if he hadn't had the opportunity. Because if you don't understand it if you don't have an opportunity. So, have you ever watched a movie? You're going along watching a movie, and there's this wonderful little happy family. He goes to work, and maybe she goes to the whatever and does her thing. And then everything's going just fine. And then all of a sudden, in their lives, whether at work or whether at the country club or at the swimming pool where the mother's got the children there, either way, a handsome man or a beautiful woman shows up. And then that movie will somehow put them together. And boom, the next thing you know. Have you ever watched a movie like that? Have you ever sat back and go, no, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Yep. And if it's a film in the making, and even Hollywood producers know how it works, they know how it works. So I'm going to just tell you some things I've learned, some very important ways to protect and guard your marriage from experience, from my experience. Never, ever, 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 ever. You're going to think this, you're going to think these are over the top. I'm talking about protecting your marriage. Go to lunch or have dinner with the opposite sex alone. Alone. Always take a girlfriend, if you're a girl, or always take somebody else, your wife or your husband with you. Do not have lunch or dinner alone. Right? You see the sense in that, don't you? I would never, ever, ever, ever counsel a male alone. I would do a woman. Because, you know, it's just, I'm learning that that's not a really good thing either. But, I would never take Jake back there and counsel him alone. You see what I'm saying? I forget that he's my son. So, that sounded dumb. Yeah. I wouldn't. I'd just ream him out in front of everybody. No. Don't be texting and calling someone and just visiting the opposite sex. If it's not your husband, it's not your children, it's not your cousin, don't be doing it. Any others, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't just have, if you're protecting your marriage, don't say, oh, well, Susie's my friend, and we just talk all the time with Susie. And so, you know, you're telling Susie things that you're not telling your wife. You get what I'm saying? Okay, don't do that. And visit with your spouse. You need to visit with someone. Visit with them. And never be secretive. Now, all that sounds over the top. It sounds over the top. But ask someone who committed adultery. It's the small, simple things. You open the door to, the enemy comes into the vow. Your reputation is gone. I know. I've had opportunities. I know. Okay. So you protect your marriage at all costs. Avoid destroying your family. Don't help the enemy out. Don't open the door. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more. I'm not done. I told you I'm camping here for a little bit. Yes, I'm going there. The devil always attacks, it's our minds, okay? It's always our minds. He attacks the truth in our mind, just like he did with Adam and Eve. He attacked their mind. Did God really say that? Did God really say that? We have to guard our minds and make sure our minds are in the right place or the devil's going to have an opportunity. Adultery always happens in an atmosphere of darkness and deception. Always. Creflo always said this. Creflo Dollar, he says, in a booth, in the back, in a corner, in the dark. But he said it really was, I'd have to have Mandy come up and do that. But there are always wrong thoughts in people's minds that precede the adultery. Whether it's just an emotional affair, or a physical affair. There's always those things. We have to tell ourselves the truth. We are all at some point tempted and could fail morally. Did you hear what I said? If King David could be one of the greatest men of the Bible, a man after God's own heart, he made a terrible mistake. And that caused untold pain and suffering in his family. It was awful. God ultimately redeemed him. But if we think we would never do that, then we get sloppy. Oh, that never happened to me. I never do that. And then you get sloppy because you think, I'm all that. And the envy will get you. And act like we are the exception and put ourselves in a circumstances where I could fail. Oh, Terry, I would never go out on so-and-so. I'm going to go out and have lunch with him. And then the second time and the third time and the fourth time it's dinner. And then the fifth time it's dinner with benefits. And everybody sees it. You on Facebook. Anyway. So when we talk about ourselves, if it couldn't happen to me or it could happen to me, this could happen to me if I'm not alert. It makes us guard ourselves and careful what we would do in the environment that we're around. I'm always thinking about, as a pastor, there are things that I cannot do. I cannot be seen at. I can't open the door. I can't put a virgin pina colada in front of me. You understand that? I'm on a cruise with my family, and it's just an innocent picture. Going, and I'll be, no, it's just a virgin pina colada. All this guy's here just come on me. I can't do it. If I want to show you a standard, and you know what I mean, set myself apart. I can't go and you guys see me in some place that's compromising to what God wants me to have. No, I cannot get on top of a bar, kick my heels off, and dance to some sort of something. You can. That was Dina. Dina gave that example, not me. So, I was going to say, it says right here, dancing on the bar is open. No. Anyway. Oh, my God. So, did you say dancing on the bar? Oh, my gosh, I got my work cut out. Reel it back in. Manage is something that has to be worked on. Amen to that? And keep your hearts and minds pure. Romans 6:23 says this, the wages of sin is death. And it also says in Hebrews, there is pleasure in sin for a season. It comes to an end. Now, let me tell you what. Think about this. If sin wasn't fun, I mean, we all want to have fun, right? I mean, but if sin wasn't fun, now, I'm not saying all fun's a sin, but you know what I'm saying? He makes it fun, but it says the wages of sin is death. The devil's net, the devil never delivers on his promises, and his beautiful seductions are lies. He promises big, he delivers little. He always overplays his hands. They look great, and they sound great, and they feel great for a bit. And then death sets in. Jesus said in John, whoever commits sins is the slave of sin. So the longer you do sin, the more you are enslaved by that sin. So if you will just let me read this and not get mad at me, okay? Proverbs 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you'll show discernment, and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smooth as oil. But in the end, she is as a bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave, for she cares nothing about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor. And you will lose it merciless. And you will lose it too. Merciless people. All you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth. And someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor.